Hi everybody, welcome to the Save the Earth podcast. Thank you for tuning in. The opinions and views presented in this podcast do not represent UConn Praxis, WHUS, or the University of Connecticut.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of the Save the Earth podcast.
Hi everybody, I am the co-host Jessica Roberts with...
Maddie Namazi. We together are the environmental campaign coordinators for UConn Praxis. So this episode, we're going to be talking a little bit about lawns in America and how it's environmentally unfriendly and unsustainable.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they do look nice, and I feel like, especially here in Connecticut, if you're from Connecticut and more rural areas of the U.S., like, everybody has them. So it'd be really beneficial if we started looking at, like, how we can make changes in our own front yards, you know?
Yeah. I know personally, we... At my home back in Waterbury, we had a lot of alternatives. We made a garden that we sustained for a couple of years before needing to completely refill the dirt because we didn't garden very effectively. And we had a bunch of different trees. We had a peach tree. We had a cherry tree. And, you know, and we had a bunch of raspberry bushes. It was really cute. And we had a tiny little, we didn't have that much. Like, it's not like we had, like, 20 acres of land, but yeah. We made the lawn that we did have very effective for gardening and for food. And it was also, like, really fun because you could go in the middle of summertime and you would go and you'd pick your raspberries every July. And then it would be the end of the summer. You get all your peaches. So many peaches, actually. I would give all my friends peaches. And one of the branches actually of the peach tree broke because we had such an influx of peaches.
Wow. So it's like a great thing to do with your family too. It's not just like, you know, extra work. It's like a good experience.
Yeah. And you get fun experiences and fresh, healthy food.
Yeah. So just to start off, a little thing from the NRDC, but lawns consume nearly 3 trillion gallons of water a year. And 200 million gallons of gas from all the mowing, and 70 million pounds of pesticides in the U.S. alone. So those are just huge, huge, huge numbers of things that we do not like.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, water consumption is a huge issue, not only in the United States, but all across the world. If we don't have enough water. Actually, one of the things my dad used to say to me is that the Third World War is going to be about water.
Which, I could see it. I can see that happening.
Which is a real issue, especially if we run out of water for the average person before we get the technological developments to clean water easily and have it accessible.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's the EPA estimates that about a third of all of our public water is used to water grass, which, I mean, imagine people in Flint, Michigan who haven't had access to clean water for so long hearing that we're using most of it to make our grass look pretty.
Yeah. Extremely absolutely devastating. Yeah. I mean, I couldn't even imagine. The people in Flint, Michigan really are in need of help. So,
yeah.
I don't know. Send money to the organization.
To Flint, Michigan. Yeah. Yep.
But it's not only Flint, Michigan. It's a lot of communities all across the United States that are having similar issues. In Waterbury, we actually don't have this issue, which is very great. I mean, we're Waterbury, so it would be really tragic and pretty ironic if we did have that. But our city actually would yoink water from, I don't know exactly where. It was one of the wealthier cities. We would have our water pipes connected to them.
Well, there you go.
So we always had a really good clean water, but that's something that a lot of people don't have access to.
Yeah. And in California, I know, like, all we hear about droughts, fires, like, so many people, like, take smaller shower times, like, doing all of these things, and we don't think about just how much our lawns take. I think probably so much water than it takes to take a shower.
And honestly, lawns, especially in like places like Connecticut or the Northeast, are mostly self-sustainable. You do not need sprinklers to make them extremely fancy and like perfectly grassed, like perfectly green grass that flows evenly throughout your lawn.
Yeah.
Most lawns will just be effective by themselves.
Mm-hmm. And I think like the aesthetics of it are such a like, a drive to, like, the reason why we put so much time and, like, money into our lawns. But, like, really, I don't know. I never understood, like, the need to have such a pretty lawn. I think maybe it's a guy thing. I don't know. But
I would not say that. I would say that it is a side effect of the American dream, to be honest.
Suburbia, white picket fence.
Yeah. I know for a lot of immigrant families, that white fence really is a symbol that, like, you made it.
Mm-hmm. And you need a nice lawn, like, backdrop to that fence.
Yeah. My house actually had a white fence on one side only because it was the side that our neighbors actually interacted with us.
Oh.
Or that our neighbors didn't interact with us. And that idea of the American dream, I think, is very symbolic to a lot of people throughout the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And for, like, multi-generational families, I think that sentiment holds true, and it continues to permeate throughout American society in a way that is even affecting our lawn culture.
Yeah. Wow. I don't think I've ever really thought about it like that. I just thought it was, like, some dorky thing that my brother was super into. Like, you know, he loved getting on the tractor. But, like, that's so true. And, you know, I think it's, like, a big point to drive that. So thank you for bringing that up. But, I mean, if you're talking about lawns, like, past aesthetics and, like, just wanting to have it, I mean, they pose really no benefits.
Yeah.
I mean, the pollinators can't use them. They're short grass, like, literally.
Yeah, the only effective thing that I think could come out of having a short lawn, which I think is important to bring up, is that it prevents some amount of animal interaction with your property.
Yes, that's very true. Lyme disease, ticks, things like that.
Yeah. And I know in Connecticut particularly, we're one of the highest tick rate states. So if it's something that is really concerning to you, I kind of can, in mm-hmm. some instances, understand the sentiment. My mom would not let me go into the grass this summer, actually, because she was so afraid of ticks.
Oh my gosh.
She had a tick bite her and she was terrified of getting Lyme disease. She was lucky enough to not.
Yeah.
But it is something that is very concerning, especially for people in the Northeast.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, we have to recognize that we are part of this global community that is struggling to deal with the environmental impacts that we're having right now with climate change.
Yeah. I think everything is a balance. You know, it's so hard. We talked about consumerism in the last episode, and it's you fit in with society or you just completely don't consume anything. Like, everything's a balance, you know.
Yeah.
You gotta, I think that's, like, environmentalism as a whole is just finding that balance that works for you, where you can do the best for yourself and the earth around you.
Yeah. But even when we do talk about, going back a little bit,
mm-hmm.
if we're talking about animal infestations or tick infestations of lawns, mm-hmm. it is not effective enough to just, like, it's not like we're saying make your grass grow. We're saying that it's more eco-friendly and it's better for you if you have alternatives within your lawn. If you have trees, you also get great fruits.
Yeah.
All
and
the
shade,
time.
Lowering your AC bills, things like that. Like,
yeah. All the time. And gardens, fun. Fresh.
Yes.
You get cucumbers, tomatoes, mm-hmm. any vegetables you can imagine. Well,
show
not any
off
of
to
them.
Your neighbors. Bring them free food. Make them feel bad about themselves.
Make yourself an amazing salad.
Yes.
Like, there's so many opportunities. And because we're in a temperate place, we have a lot of options when it comes to vegetables. Although we can't grow everything here, we can grow a good portion of things that we want. Like, I'm not telling you to go out and grow a pineapple or a mango,
because
that probably wouldn't be effective.
Yes, not a native plant.
Yes.
Here in the Northeast.
Let's bring native plants back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think, like, the point isn't, like, oh, just stop mowing your lawn and don't care anymore. I think your neighbors would be very angry. I think you'd get some complaints.
I'm pretty sure it's actually illegal.
Yeah, I think it is.
So,
don't, we're not saying go out and have,
do not leave your lawn, but
unattended.
Take responsibility for your lawn and try to improve your space as much as possible.
Yeah, I know, Like, we talked about how lawns aren't really great for pollinators at all. I mean, there's nothing for them to pollinate there. Where are they going to live? It's short, like, turf grass. But I know that in doing research for this podcast, I've read that just waiting 2 weeks between the time that you, mow your lawn, it allows more bees to come in and, like, do their thing and stuff like that. So, like, you don't have to stop completely. You know, give it some time for the ecosystem to, like, do something before you come in and, like, chop it all down, you know?
And, you know, if bees had complete access to their environment, maybe they wouldn't have been dying out so quickly.
For real. Or stinging us as much.
Yeah, maybe they'd be happier.
Yeah, maybe.
And you know what? We'd be happier too.
Yes, absolutely. But, yeah, and I mean, we talked about the pesticides too, or mentioned them. The 70 million pounds of pesticides that are used. This is like a huge problem that we don't, I think, even think about, because stormwater runoff into our sewers, into our oceans, like, pesticides don't just sit in your lawn and then make the grass look nice and never, and like, that's it. Like, they have a life.
Huge algae blooms due to pesticides and due to other farming-based...
just everywhere, I think. Like, I know I live on top of a mountain, so all of, like, the stuff that we put just runs down into this little creek at the end that then goes right into the Delaware River where I live. So, like, everything that we put in our lawns, it's going somewhere else, and it's affecting a different ecosystem that's not just our front yard.
Yeah. There was a few years ago, one of the five Great Lakes had a huge algae bloom due to, artificial materials that were used in farming that became runoff into one of the lakes.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, like, a multi-million dollar cleanup process. And it just really shows how much of an impact that people are having on their environment.
Yeah.
And it's truly a devastating process that we're affecting.
I mean, I think, like, the scope of how interconnected everything in the environment is so hard for us to even comprehend. Like, absolutely everything that we put out there affects something else besides us.
Yeah.
Like, without a doubt.
And it's also important to note how even things that we see as ineffective uses of land are still effective. If we think about, like, the Sahara Desert, for example, we see it as a huge portion of the world that is just untapped land.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, the runoff of sand and minerals from the Sahara Desert is what fuels the coral reefs in South America and fuels the Amazon rainforest.
Mm-hmm.
So even things that are technically untapped territory are still significant to the global climate.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think talking about untapped land, when everything having a meaning, I think it's almost everything but our lawns. Like, our lawns truly are untapped land that aren't really benefiting anything in any way. I think that's the only source of land that is truly untapped. And I think, like, 40 to 50 million acres of the United States is just lawn. And 40% of that is residential lawns, 20% is roadsides, and then 3% is just golf. Like, a whole 3% of 50 million acres is golf courses, you guys.
Absolutely devastating.
Like,
news.
What?
Absolutely devastating.
Insane. Insane. I know that, like, where I live in New Jersey, there's, like, three, like, golfing courses that I can drive to within, like, 10 minutes of where I live. It's insane.
Yeah, like, absolutely. Mini golf is where it's at, guys. Mini
absolutely.
Golf.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they're absolutely using so much of the land for basically nothing.
Yeah. Recreation. I mean, I understand golfing might be someone's passion and not mine, but, like, 3%, guys?
Of 50 million acres?
I know. I mean, like, with everything that's, like, virtual that you can do, like, with virtual reality now, like, what about virtual reality golfing? Like, let's not use so much land. I mean, think about how much 50 million acres of land could feed people if we were using it to grow vegetables like your family did. Like, think about that. If every lawn had a garden in it, that then would feed that family. Lower transportation for getting all those fruits and vegetables from other parts of the world. I mean, think about how much agriculture promotes and, like, pushes and drives deforestation. You know, like, we are actively destroying ecosystems to find more land to use for agriculture when we have 50 million that's right in front of, like, right when you step outside your front door that could be used for that exact purpose. How much people could we feed with 50 million more land?
Like, so many acres. More. So it many creates, more.
Yeah. So crazy. And, like we said, we're not saying you can't have a lawn. There's a balance to everything. I know, like, lawns and green space, it's green space. Like, in cities, some people don't have any lawns, and they can turn into heat islands and, like, so many things. So having that green space near your home is so important. Don't just get rid of your lawn, you know? It can be a carbon sink and actually bring carbon down. A part of the thing is, like, if you do, like we said, it's important to keep the lawn maintained. You have to do it. Just keep your clippings, your, like, lawnmower clippings on the ground. Let them decompose. And that is 5.9 teragrams of carbon that would be stored in those clippings. That could be, rather than being in the air, if you're transporting it or just, like, blowing it away and not letting it decompose naturally. So there are benefits and, like, ways that you can make your lawn carbon, even carbon neutral in a way, you know, or maybe not carbon neutral, just not emitting more carbon than it's taking in, you know. And even in, like, California, I know, in Arizona, there people are realizing how important it is to not be putting strain on ecosystems that aren't meant to maintain turf grass. And in California, they have turf replacement initiatives that offer rebates up to $500 per yard for homeowners who convert their turf lands to native plants.
I think that's so important.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, getting people to care, I think money is the best way to do that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, money does make the world go around.
It truly does. Yep.
And I think that's also an important thing to talk about, how money is making the world go round. And we talked a little bit about this in the consumerism episode, which we briefly discussed earlier, but there is not a lot of monetary incentive to switch to native plants, which is a major issue, I think, in a lot of places. But even if we're not switching to native plants in particular, we could switch to native plants that have some monetary benefit. Even if it's just the fruits and vegetables that you're gaining, that you can save a little bit of money. That's one of the main reasons that we had plants in my backyard, because we didn't want to spend that extra dollar. So when we talk about the monetary benefits, there is ways to make having plants in your own backyard a monetary gain. But
absolutely.
But at the end of the day, it is also based on how much you can incentivize people. So if you do add those extra subsidies for people to have native or to people for people to have gardens in their backyards, then it would increase the incentive and make it a more popular option.
Yeah, and I think the more that people do it, the more accepted it becomes. And then you don't have those annoying neighbors who are like, your lawn looks gross, make it nice, you know?
Yes. So
the more we do it, the more we incentivize people, especially in areas like Nettie said, like California, like drier areas that we think of as untapped land. Who were destroying that ecosystem we put a lawn there. Like, places like that, getting people to care, getting people to be like, oh, this is a good idea for me, you know? That incentive, I think money would be the biggest pusher, which it does save you money. Like we mentioned, like, shade from trees will lower your AC bills. You know, you won't be paying for gas for your lawnmower as much. You won't be paying your water bill. It's not going to be as high if you're spending so much of it just, like, squirting it over land, you know?
Yes.
So there are so many more benefits other than the environment if that's not what's going to be motivating you the most. If it's money, that's there, you know?
Yeah. So I think that basically covers everything that we wanted to talk about in today's episode. I do want to leave you guys off with the With a question. We'll say a question.
A question. An inquiry.
An inquiry into your own lives.
Yes.
What is it that you can do to make your lawn a little bit better?
Yeah. I think that's a great question. Just everybody look inward a little bit. Yeah. I know I will definitely after this, you know, go home, see what I can do with that. I have dogs. I think they'd be pretty angry if I got a lot of the lawn taken away in our front yard. But, you know, do what you can. And like we said, like, there's a balance, everybody. Don't go home and be like, oh my God, I'm such a horrible person because I love my lawn so much. No. Just what can you do to make it a little better, you know?
What would your lawn look like if you had a couple of beautiful trees in the middle?
Yeah. Or like peach trees, you know? Nice peach cobbler in the summer to cool you down. There you go.
Lovely. Okay. So I think that covers everything. Thank you guys for listening. Come to the next episode. We'll be posting them as frequently as we can.
Yes. Thank you so much, everybody. Bye.